Zealand's wings are clipped yet again. It's canning almost 400 more international crew jobs and is looking to make several hundred other workers on leave without pay officially redundant. The national carrier reported a $454 million loss for the year ended June and has slashed 4,000 jobs as it struggles to stay in the air after the COVID pandemic decimated international aviation. Air New Zealand is burning up to $85 million a month just keeping the doors open, and it started drawing down a $900 million taxpayer-funded government loan. It's also planning some kind of capital raise by mid-next year, but it's having to cut again. Chief Executive Greg Foran had hoped there would be a fully-fledged trans-Tasman travel bubble now, and without it, the airline has been forced to shed yet more staff.
We're in negotiation at the moment with 380 what we call FTEs, full-time equivalents, and that's a process that we're working through at the moment.
So are they international crew that you're offering redundancy to?
They are our international long-haul crew, and that's come about through us making a decision that the 777s aren't going to be back for some time, and also the fact that international borders that we'd hoped we were going to see some action across the Tasman and Pacific Islands by now hasn't eventuated. So, yeah, we've got too many, and in light of what we're seeing, we think it's appropriate that we take that action.
So that's 385 from a remaining how many long-haul crew?
That leaves us with just over 200. Now, we've had about 500 on furlough, effectively leave without pay, and that allows us to get that crew back a bit quicker. But some of the complications around how contracts are written mean that some of those 500 crew also now, who were made redundant previously and have been on furlough, are now, you know, we're having a discussion with the union around how we handle those crew.
So, for clarity,
205 ready to come are available at this point.
So, Greg, just to be clear, you had, 500 crew on hibernated contracts. So, basically, they go off, they work. If jobs come available or business picks up, you would have brought them back first. Is that right?
That's correct.
You are now cutting those people loose.
Well, we need to under the contract, and it's a complicated piece of legislation, and we work very closely with the union on this. So there's two contracts, one which is pre-2013 and one which is post that. And under the rules of that contract, what we have to do is now take some action on those 500 that are on furlough. And
so bottom line, Greg, and I understand it's complicated and different crew have different contracts, but bottom line, approximately 500 people who were on furlough will now lose their jobs. And then in addition to that, you are looking to make redundant another 385 international long-haul crew.
It is complicated, Lisa, because the 500 who are on furlough had already been made redundant and then opted, instead of taking redundancy, to go on furlough.
Understand that. But they were doing so in the hope that they would be recalled by the airline. So there was still some connection to you as a company. And now that's going to be severed, correct?
And, well, that may be the case. That's a negotiation at the moment that we're having with the union, and we would be hopeful that we would be able to pull that together and get them back on furlough. But under the law, we have to follow this particular process. And clearly our intention, Lisa, is to get these people back as soon as we get borders open. But as you can understand, that's not something that's in my control.
So if there had been a travel bubble about now, would you have been able to save these 385 crew that you're now looking to make redundant?
Absolutely. We would love to be back flying across the Tasman and flying to the Pacific Islands. And I'm hopeful that at some point that's exactly what we can do. But like everyone else, we're sort of waiting to see when that will occur. We'd hoped it was actually going to be up and operating now.
What have you been told about that by the government?
The same as what you're reading is what I know. I know nothing else.
Do you see a future for Air New Zealand where you outsource crew? You get them from recruitment agencies, or you employ them largely from offshore agencies or organisations?
What I do see is a really positive future for Air New Zealand, and I'll come to your specific question in a minute. You know, we are fortunate that we've got a domestic network here, which, to the best that I can see, is probably operating at a rate of performance higher than any other airline in the world. So, you know, we're up and running. We're running sort of circa 70 to 80% of pre-COVID volumes, and we're moving people around. In terms of, you know, outsourcing and whether that happens, you know, that's a discussion and a decision that once again requires detailed analysis. We don't have any plans to outsource cabin crew at this point.
At this point, those are critical words, though, aren't they, Greg?
Well,
at this point. So you're not ruling it out.
And just like in your business, Lisa, you would always want to try and keep a view that if conditions change, you may have to adopt and adapt different policies and procedures. So I would never want to mislead people, because it's very difficult to predict in the future exactly what's going to happen in the airline business.
Are you already investigating that as an option, though, Greg? Are you doing research around this? Are you looking at what it could look like for Air New Zealand?
No, we're not.
But you cannot rule it out at this point.
Well, I think that would be a foolish position for any business to take, is to say on something like that, which could end up being, you know, something that occurs across the industry. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But, you know, I wouldn't want to mislead people down that path. So, you know, the reality is we're not investigating that at this point. But like any business, you would want to continue to consider options, particularly when you're dealing with a crisis like we are in the airline industry.
Given that you've got more redundancies coming and that the furloughed crews that were still there waiting in the wings, excuse the use of those terms, to potentially come back to the company, are now potentially going to be made redundant, do you have the funds to pay redundancies for these people?
So we've put money aside to deal with that when they were first made redundant. And so the answer to that question is yes, but I would stress again that our objective here is to get people back on furlough. And the reason for that is that when we've spoken to the crew, that is something that they would like. And so we've put that in place, and we would endeavour to put that back in place again over the next few weeks.
But you've got the cash reserves to cover any redundancies currently.
We sure do.
I noticed that you've paid more than $3 million back in wage subsidies. Why was that?
I'm not sure of the answer to that one. I'm sorry, Lisa.
Nobody's told you about that?
I was not aware of that.
So does that surprise you, that you don't know that?
There are many things that I'm getting across at the moment, Lisa, but $3 million paid back in wage subsidies is, I'm not aware of the details on that one. I'm sorry.
Okay. We're interested to know why you've paid back that money. I'm wondering if you might be able to come back to us with an answer on that one.
Sure. We can do that.
So the government loan, $900 million. At last count, I think you'd drawn down $110 million. Where are you sitting at the moment?
It's not a number which we would put out at this stage, Lisa, but we continue to draw it down.
Why
as
not?
Required, because that's market-sensitive data. And what we have said to the market is that we burn through cash between $65 to $85 million a month.
So you'll be looking for some other savings or revenue streams. Interest rates on that money from the government, what, 7 to 9%? Pretty high in the current climate. Have you asked for any relief on the terms of that loan?
We continue to have good dialogue with the government, and as we've said previously, we're working closely with them as we think about the capital structure for Air New Zealand. And we know that the loan was only ever put in there as a short-term facility before we work out what else we do.
And so specifically,
we're working well towards pulling together the right plans. And as we've mentioned before, June 2021, we would hope to be in a position, all things considered, to have a new capital structure in Air New Zealand.
In terms of the interest rates on that loan, have you asked for the government to adjust those terms, lower the interest rate?
As I said, we continue to be in discussion with them around that.
But that specific question, Greg, have you specifically asked them for that?
As I said, Lisa, we continue to be in good discussions with them around how we operate the business and the capital structure required.
Why won't you answer that more specifically? Have you asked the specific question as to whether you can get a lower interest rate?
Because, Lisa, we're in good discussions with them at the moment around not just that, but how else we're going to organise the capital structure of the business.
Have you reached any kind of agreement with the government in terms of that capital raise? Because you've said many times when we've talked that the government's made it clear to you that it does not want to dilute its shareholding in the company. So have you reached some kind of tentative agreement about how that might happen?
Well, we know that the government have, confirmed to us, and this is a public statement again, that they want to maintain their majority shareholding in Air New Zealand. And, the board is engaging constructively with the Crown in exactly what that looks like. And that's all I can say about that at this stage.
The government has put a lot of money into freight contracts, and Air New Zealand has been a beneficiary of that. So there was an extension on the freight contract. It's due to expire, I think, around the end of November. Now, the government is asking for expressions of interest in a next round of funding. How much do you need that contract?
So just a couple of points of clarification on that one, Lisa. It actually got extended from November to the end of December, and it's now been extended again to the end of March. And it's really important for us to have that extension. It's very valuable. It's allowing us to fly about 10 of our 787 Dreamliners, which equates to about 50 flights a week. As we get into the summer season, what's going to happen is that there's a chance that we could get a couple more planes up in the air than that, maybe get up to 60 or 70 flights a week. We're working closely with the Ministry of Transport and have just put a submission in for the period of January through to March, and we'll have to wait and see how much of that is granted to Air New Zealand. But we're hopeful of getting, the lion's share of that, and it is very important to us at the moment, very important, and very important to New Zealand because it's allowing product to be both exported and imported.
So the extension, was that just rolled over? You didn't have to bid for that?
No, we do have to bid for it. So the extension that I mentioned from January to March, we just literally yesterday have put in our submission for that, as will many other airlines. So we have to bid. It's competitive. And we'll have to wait and see what the results of that are. But I'm hopeful that, as I said, we can get the lion's share.
At what point would you consider stopping flying internationally?
I would say that if we didn't have the benefit of the freight contract, Lisa, I would have to seriously consider whether we would fly internationally. The freight contract is allowing us to get those Dreamliners in the air, move freight, move some passengers, and keep a number of our pilots and crew current. So it's critically important to us.
And that's the Air New Zealand boss, Greg Foran.